I'm going to say a quote, and I want you to finish it for me. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Okay. For those of who are in here in Sunday school, we looked at communication and speaking. But and I think we said it in, I'm pretty sure I said in Sunday school that's not necessarily true, because words definitely do hurt. Would you agree, though, that the degree of the hurt depends on the person saying the insult? Okay? For example, if you get out of here today and that's 74, okay, if you get on 74, and maybe you forget to put on your turning signal, you forgot to do something, maybe you're just thinking about getting something to eat, you're hangry, and you do something wrong, and you maybe cut off someone, and they have to swerve out of the way, and they blow their horn, and they say, you know, you dummy, why can't you learn how to drive, whatever. Now, that may offend you, but I would say that's probably in the lower scale of offending, right? That's not, you don't know the person don't know you, you probably never see him again in your life. So that's one level. Then there's the next level. The next level, I would say, is someone who is a lot younger than you, like a kid or someone like that. So there's this young guy. He came to our church. His brother came to our Christian school. Okay? So he didn't come to our Christian school, and the brother didn't come to our church. So I'm taking Kino home. So I'm asking Kino about his brother Jameson. Jameson played basketball. He was an athlete. He was on the scholarship. He was a good athlete. So I'm asking Kino, dropping him home from church, about Jameson, because he's out of our school. He was finished with school. So I said, Kino, I said, how's Jameson doing? He said, he's right there, whatever. I said, is he still playing basketball? He said, playing basketball? He said, he stopped playing basketball so long ago, he's almost as fat as you. Thank you for not laughing. A lot of times I say that and people just burst out laughing. I was like, okay, thank you very much, Kino. Appreciate that. That hurt a little bit. Yeah, it did. But it didn't hurt as bad, right? It hurt worse than someone who I didn't know. Should have just kicked him out of the car right there and then. Speak the truth in love. But there's nothing like when a family member says something. A sibling to another sibling, a parent to a child to a parent, a spouse to a spouse. I think that's at the top of the list. There's no hurt like family hurt. And so for a family member to insult you really hurts. So we see the different levels, right? So the first level is someone you don't know. Driving along, walking along, whatever happens, you'll never see that person again, they'll never see you again. They insult you, they call your name, no big deal. Then it could be a young person, like that crazy boy, Kino. Maybe a young person that says something to you and, you know, it's like, he's just a little kid, get out of my car. But old family hurt. To have a family member insult you. That's at the top of the list. But I'm going to say that there's something even worse than if a family member insults you. What if God were to insult you? What if God were to call you a name? How would that make you feel? Take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to stand and read one portion of a verse. We're not even going to read the whole verse. We're going to just read one portion of a verse. Luke chapter 12. And would you please stand with me? Luke chapter 12. We're going to read the first seven words of this verse. So only the first seven words. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Let's read the first seven words together. But God said unto him, okay, so let's have everybody in this section here say it. Everyone in this section here, read it together. Read it. All right, main section right here. Here we go. Say it together. Together.
God said unto him, thou fool.
And then the last section right here. This is the best section right here. All right, here we go. Together.
God said unto him, thou fool.
Everyone, one more time together, and then you can be seated. But God said unto him, thou fool. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but here's what I believe. When I see a verse like that, Pastor Gray, two questions come to my mind, and really only two. The first question that comes to my mind, why did God call him a fool? What did this person do that merited God referring to him as a fool? That's number one. I have to find out. I got to figure out, why would God call this person a fool? Then the second reason, or the second question is this. Well, if God calls him a fool, would God call me a fool? See, I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave it there. I don't want to leave it sitting in this person's lap. I want to know, how is this going to impact me? So when we come to church, when we come wherever there's preaching or Bible study or anything about the Word of God, we're not here to learn about what's for the other person. We're here to learn about what's for me. What does God want to tell me? And so I got to figure out, would God call me a fool? So let's get some context. And I try to be very careful, because I've been that person sitting in the pew or sitting in the chair, and the person says, well, everybody knows this verse. And I'm sitting there like, I don't know that verse. So when we say context, let me explain when we say context. So let's say that I find a piece of paper on the ground, and I pick up the piece of paper and it says, Kwame, I love you. Okay, Kwame, I love you. Well, I got to get some context. And one of the questions is, who wrote it? It could have been a person that I've been high school with and graduated high school or college with. It could be my brother or my sister. It could be my niece. It could be my wife. But the context lets me know, okay, that's the love they're talking about. So when we come to Scripture, we have to understand the context of why something was written. So then we could, now I realize the context, so now I could understand the passage. So let's get some context of what's going on. Look at chapter 12, notice verse 1. It says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid. So Jesus is now speaking, teaching, preaching to how big is the crowd, church? We don't even know. It's so big they can't even count it. So here is Jesus preaching to an innumerable amount of people. So, wow, this is amazing. Wouldn't you love to be there? I would have loved to have been there. And so he's preaching and he's teaching. If you've ever been in a class, which is most of us, if not all of us, if you've ever been in some sort of class, Bible class, school class, or if you ever taught a class, you know that there is that one person in the class. Now, after speaking about communication for Sunday school, I'm not going to say that the person's not the smartest, but I'm just going to say there's always someone who has that question. And you know what I mean when I say that question. If you don't know what I mean when you say that question, talk to me after the service. And they'll have a question that's totally non-related to the topic. We're talking about X, and they're asking about A, B, and C. Like, they're nowhere, we're worlds apart. And they ask the question. Well, there, in this innumerable crowd, there was that one. Notice verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus is talking about souls, he's talking about hypocrisy, he's talking about salvation, he's talking about all these different things. And here comes this guy. I got a question, Jesus. Actually, I got a request. I want you to stop preaching the gospel. Because my matter is more important than the gospel. And I want you to go to my brother, and I want you to tell him to divide the portion with me. Now, what does that mean? Okay? I am not that good in math. Okay? But I do know this. There are three kinds of people in the world. Those who know math and those who don't. So I am going to use simple math. So let's say there is a father and he has two sons. The father has $300,000 in his bank account. When the father dies, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that the eldest son would get a double portion. And then the other siblings would then divide what is left out of that portion. So if a father has $300,000, he has two sons, the oldest son would get $200,000. The younger son would get $100,000. Okay? Are you with me? So here's this guy, and he says, Jesus, I want you to speak to my brother. When I read this, I thought this guy who said this was the younger brother. That's what I think. But as I began to read and look at some of the commentaries, they say, no. This is the older brother. I thought it was the younger brother who was saying maybe the older brother took the older brother took $250,000. And now the younger brother is saying, well, just tell the older brother to give me back my $50,000 that he's taking that's extra, because what's fair to me is fair to me. And then as I began to think about it, and I began to think about the context, no, I think it's the older brother. And here's what I believe. Several commentators believe this. This is the older brother asking Jesus to stop preaching so he could get the $300,000. And they're saying, as you read it, the older brother wants all. Now, if you say, well, I'm not sure which one is which, that's fine. But notice how Jesus responds. Jesus says in verse number 14, and he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? This isn't my job. My job is to preach the gospel, to save souls, to heal the sick. I'm not here to deal with these matters. He said unto him, verse 15, and he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. Okay? So if you believe this is the younger brother, that's fine. I'm not going to argue. We're not going to split hairs. But here's what I would say. That right now is not covetousness. Covetousness is an indesirable amount of greed. You always want, you want, you want, you want, you want. You are never satisfied. Never satisfied. So a person who has an iPhone 16, is that the new iPhone? They would wait in line. Black Friday, they'd wait in line for I-16 to come out, and they argue with their parents and say, every other person's going to have an I-16, and I want an I-16, and if I don't get an I-16, it's not going to be a happy place, and I want an I-16, and I deserve an I-16. Give me an I-16. And so you go, and they stand in line, and they wait all this time, and they spend all this money, and they get I-16. The next year, I-17 comes out, and they say, I want an I-17. That's covetousness. Never satisfied. So Jesus says, beware of covetous. Well, let me ask you a question. What would be the covetousness of the younger brother? He would have just been asking, give me what I deserve. If it's the older brother that wants all, that's covetous. He can't even be satisfied with the 200 of the 300,000. He wants all 300,000. Whichever one you believe, it's okay. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know what we do, even as believers, you know what we do? We look at a person who has a lot of money and we say, boy, they have a good life. Man, they got a good life. And I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know why God does what he does. You know, there's some things that we may have to ask when we get to heaven. God allows people to get plenty of money who waste it. And we could have money and send to missions and help churches and help other things. And it's like, I don't understand why God does what he does. But God says, a man's life consisted not in the things which he possesses. In other words, the value of your life is not based on the amount of money in your bank account. The money in the bank account may have a certain value, but that does not interact with your value. You're not more valuable because you have more money. All of us are dust. So with that context, I'm preaching to people about salvation. This man is talking about stop what you're doing and divide this inheritance. And Jesus is saying, look, you need to stop being covetous, and a man's life consists not of the things which he possesses. Now he's going to go into a parable to, in essence, and I know a lot of parents and teachers would have done this. You're speaking to one person, but you're speaking to everybody. Junior, if you or anyone makes any more noise, there's going to be a problem. Okay, you're speaking to Junior, but you're speaking to all your children. So Jesus then goes, and it says in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying. So now here we go. Jesus is going to address this guy that stopped him in the middle of his message, and he's going to address him about his covetousness. And he's going to use a parable. What's a parable? It's a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Have you ever heard the phrase, the early bird gets the worm? Okay, the early bird gets the worm. That does not mean when you go outside tomorrow and you go at the earliest as you could possibly go and you look for a bird, there will be a bird pulling its beak out of a hole with a worm in it. You're probably not going to see that. So it's not a reality that happens. It's not the early bird that gets the worm. The truth is, the early person gets the prize. So if you're early on your job, you get the prize. The boss looks at you and says, you're doing a great job. So the person that's early, it's better to be early than late. You understand the principle? So this is what we're going to read. This did not happen. But the truth of this happens every day. So he speaks this parable, this earthly story with heavenly meaning. And he says this. He says in verse number 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The word fool, without reason, foolish, stupid, without reflection or intelligence. I want us to look at this one verse of scripture. Matthew, take your Bibles and keep your finger right here in Luke, but go to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see this, how powerful this is. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say What's the next two words, church? Shall be in danger of hellfire. You say, what does all that mean? I'm not going to tell you what all that means, but I'm going to tell you this. Don't call people fools. You can call them a lot of things, but don't call them fools. Well, why did God call this man a fool? Because he is God and he makes the rules. If you have a problem with that, take it up with him. So this word fool is a serious word, serious implication. So back to Luke. So the question then becomes, why did God call this man a fool? I see three reasons why. Number one, he had the wrong teacher. He had the wrong teacher. I need you to help me with this. I need you to do this with me, please. I am going to say where he says, I or my or thine. And I want you to count loudly. So, for example, I'm going to say, a ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I? And you would say, okay, you with me? All right, so here we go. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Roundabout figure, how many times? 7? 10? 10, 11, okay? Not one time did he pray. The only person he listened to was himself. He never, before we even get to the prayer part, he didn't even ask possibly another businessman what he should do in this situation. Understand, here is he, now I got to give him this. He was a good businessman and he was a good farmer. So what was happening was this, again, simple math. He had 100,000 crops of, what's a balance? How do you weigh pounds? Fruit, pounds? Okay. He had 100,000 pounds of fruit in 2024. He comes out and he looks around and he says, hold up. If last year we had 100,000, this year we're going to have 200,000. I'm going to double my profit. I'm going to double everything. So what he should have done, one of the things he could have done is he could have said, hey, listen, there's another businessman down the road. Let me ask his advice. Let me ask his counsel. But he said, no, I'm not going to ask anybody's counsel. I'm going to talk to myself about this. You see, a lot of times we make major, major decisions and we don't get no counsel from anybody. And then we wonder why it goes bad. And there are people who have made the mistake that you're about to make. And if you would just but ask somebody for help, if you would just ask somebody and say, hey, listen, I have a decision to make. Can you please help me? It would save your life from a lot of problems. But too often, you know what we say? I don't need to ask anybody. I know what I'm going to do. And you know why we don't want to ask nobody? We don't want to ask nobody because we don't want them to tell us no. I like this girl. Well, did you talk to a pastor? Did you talk to your parents? No. I'm just going to tell them when we're getting married. And at no point did he pray. At no point did this man come to a realization that, hey, hold on. Who is the one that is giving me the 100,000 last year? And who is the one that's giving me 200,000 this year? It's God. So you know what? I need to stop and I need to say, God, maybe you're giving me a double portion because you want me to give to some missionary. Maybe you want me to have a double portion because you want me to help an orphanage. Maybe you want me to help a hospital. Maybe you want me to help somebody else. So I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, God, why are you giving me so much fruit? God, what do you want me to do? He only listened to himself. So here's my conclusion. Conclusion number one. If I don't listen to nobody but myself, I think God would call me a fool. Number two. Number one, he had the wrong teacher. Number two, he had the wrong treasure. Notice what he says. He says in verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have nowhere, no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Everything about this man was about his profit, about his business. There's nothing wrong with business. We need good Christian businessmen. We need people who are good in business and they can provide the money to help the church and to help missionaries. All those things are needful. But his only focus, there's nothing mentioned of his family. There's nothing mentioned of, hey, is he married? Remember, it's just a parable. But there's nothing mentioned, hey, this could help my family, this could help my son or my daughter, and this could help this. There was no concern. He was concerned about one thing, getting money. He had the wrong treasure. He was trying to be rich. But do you realize sometimes when you try to become rich in one thing, you become poor in another? And maybe there are some fathers who have been burning the candle at both edges at their business at the sacrifice of your family. His whole focus was how much money he could get. How could he have all of this fruit and what should he do? But unfortunately, he had the wrong treasure. Do you realize God doesn't value things the way we value things sometimes? Like we value things by how much money a person has in a bank account or how much rings a person has in sports or how much likes they have on some social media. That's how the world values people. God doesn't, you really think God's up in heaven worrying about Instagram? And you say, preacher, Instagram is so old, you don't even know what it's doing. You're correct, I don't really care. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong. I think those things should be a tool. You could reach people all around the world with one video, but make it about Jesus Christ. Make it about the gospel, or make it about something positive that will lead to the gospel. Don't just take pictures of your food. That was not in the message. He had the wrong teacher. He had the wrong treasure. He valued the wrong thing. And thirdly, he had the wrong timetable. Verse 19, he had a plan for early retirement. And I would say to my soul, soul, he literally talks to himself. And I would say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, retire, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy life. You've made it. You're a millionaire. You're a billionaire. You're a successful businessman. All of the things that you've worked so hard for, this is it. That your time has come. You've made it. You're on the Forbes 100 list. You are now a success. And little did he know, he would not enjoy $1 from this prophet. Look what God says. Look what God says. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, not in 10 years. He's saying you're planning your retirement for the next few years, but you don't understand that tonight you're going to die. You fool! You're planning for everything. You planned your entire life, but the only thing you didn't plan for was for eternity. You're a fool! You have all these plans, and you have all this money, and you have all these fruits, and now you're going to tear down your bonds. You're going to make bigger bonds. You're going to have your retirement plan. You're not going to give anything away because it's all about you, and you're going to talk to yourself. You're so bad, you don't even talk to no one else. You talk to yourself. Soul. Thou fool. You know it's really difficult? Pastor could attest to this. Having funerals for people who are younger than you. I had to stand up one year at the school. Pastor was away, and I was the vice principal, so I was handling the school. And I had to stand up in front of the school, and I had to tell the students that one of our students died. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Folks, I don't know when I'm going to die. Do you? None of us know when we're going to die. So if we're going to plan for eternity, what I try to tell people to do is this. When you plan, not plan for eternity, you plan for the rest of your life, you better put that in pencil. Because I don't know what the Lord has. I don't know what sickness I could get. I don't know what accident I could go in. And this whole plan and this whole idea, and I'm going to have, you know, a big house and a white picket fence and 2.5 children and a dog named Scruffy, and I'm going to live and I'm going to enjoy my life. That sounds great, and there's no problem with having dreams, but you better put it in pencil. God said, thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then notice what it says. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it might appear that he may not have had children. I don't know. It's a parable. Maybe he didn't have any children. So he has accumulated all this wealth for someone else to enjoy. And God looks down and God says, that fool. He used his business life not for the furtherance of orphanages and to help little children, not for hospitals and clinics, and definitely not for the gospel. He accumulated his wealth for himself to enjoy himself, and he wouldn't experience $1 of enjoyment from what he made. But someone else will enjoy it. You know how much you take to heaven? You take nothing of this earth to heaven. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21 is our last verse. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. So he's now saying, this parable, as I spoke to this one guy, but I'm talking to everybody, this parable now, here is the conclusion. This guy had a lot of fruits. He was going to build bigger bonds. He had his retirement plan. He didn't listen to no one. He valued the wrong thing. He had the wrong timetable. He didn't know he was going to die. Here it is. That's this. Here's the conclusion. Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Just like this man who's a fool, is someone who lays up treasure for himself. They spend all their time trying to make it big, trying to get the next dollar, trying to be rich, trying to be a multimillionaire, multi-billionaire. And it's not rich towards God. I'm sure if you're of age, you probably have an ATM card. And what we could do, and of course you have it on your phone as well, you could probably very easily check this on your phone. You could probably, there have been times, and I say probably because I don't know all of your status, but there are probably times when you have gone to an ATM in a moment of prayer. And you put that ATM card in and you're saying, Father, I am pretty sure I have nothing but $2.50. But God, I need 20. Would you please intervene on my behalf? And you put that in there and you get the reading back and it says $2.50, right? And so you kind of go and you're disappointed. So an ATM card or an app on your phone can let you know how much you have in your bank account right now. Join me if you would. Let's take a quick trip. We're not going far, Pastor. We're coming right back. Let's take a quick trip to heaven. And in heaven, just like in the gas stations, there's an ATM, but it says spiritual bank account. And we go inside, and we're in heaven, and we're only up there for a few moments, and we were to take our CTM card, our Christian T card, and we put that into the ATM, and it gets to read how much treasures we have laid up in heaven. Would you be like how it was on earth? Dear Lord, I really haven't done a lot for you. But some way, shape, or fashion, would you make it more than it's really there? Would you do that like how you would do it if you only had $1.25 or $1.50? Or would you put your ATM card in the ATM machine in heaven and say, I'm rich! Because if you could put your ATM card in there and you could say, you are rich. You have led people to the Lord. You've discipled. You've given to missions. You've served your local church. You've served your community with the gospel. You've done things to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are people that are in heaven because of what God used you to do. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then God says, you are rich. But if you can't say that, then maybe, just maybe, God's saying, thou fool. Have every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I have been foolish. I've been a fool, chasing things that don't matter in eternity. Forgive me. Help us, help all of us, to focus on our wealth in heaven, not on earth. And God, yes, you do bless us, and you bless some of us and others to have some measure of riches and wealth on this earth, but help us to never focus on that. Help us to focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we can use what we have to further your gospel. And God, if there's any today that's unsaved and maybe their focus has been on something else and not on the gospel, may you convict them of their sin, your righteousness, and your judgment. And for those who are saved, who maybe you spoke to their hearts today, would you help them to respond the way that you want them to? We ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor.